Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Hello. You know, I realize I'm sitting there looking at my phone and you must be wondering what I'm doing, playing bubble games. No, I'm saying hello to all of our online viewers. There's Bobby Jo Valentine, Hanya Popova Parker, Karen Norton, and Martha McCabe, and all of the people of our community who are still watching from home. So that's what we're doing, and the people in the booth, we're chatting using Slack, making sure everything is in its place. Oh, technology is so wonderful. Because some of our community is not ready to come in person yet. And some have relocated, and we can still stay connected. I was reading online, one church advisor, spiritual community advisor said, cut off online. You got to get the people to come back. I said, oh, no. No. We want to be inclusive and welcoming. And if somebody wants to sit at home and be part of the community, they can do that. And if you are sitting at home and you're missing the community and thinking, is it safe to come back yet? Well, let me tell you. We're still practicing safety protocols here, and there are plenty of seats far away from everybody else and huge high ceilings. So let me just tell you, I predict your future. Something is calling you, because you know we do love to be together. So think about it. You can come and check it out. You can come to an in-person service and sit way in the back. And far away from people. There's my back-seated people back there, yes. Or you can continue to watch online. We'll take you whatever way you want to show up. And that relates to the practice of forgiveness, too. Just show up as you are. There is space and there's room for you. And hello, online viewers. Pajamas? You can come in your pajamas. Yes, you can. I think so. That's fair enough. And we do love to hear where you're watching from if you are watching online. So please type that in the chat box or send us a message. This morning, our topic is Forgive to Live. And that's why that opening song is so appropriate and beautiful. And I wanted to show where forgiveness fits into those spiritual practices that Reverend Russ mentioned this morning. So if you brought your journal along, thank you. Six people. It's getting better. I'm just messing with you. You don't need to bring the journal along because these videos are available after the service immediately, and you can always catch up. On the back of the journal is the logo of our movement, Centers for Spiritual Living. And if you don't have your journal, we can display it on the screen right now so the people at home can see it as well. You see there, Center for Spiritual Living, and then each center has its designation where it's located. Now, I want to draw your attention to the starburst symbol right there. It's got five sets of rays, and I use that. I don't know if it was intended that way. I use that to remind me of those five spiritual pillars that Reverend Russ talked about, and they are meditation. Now, you'll see each ray has got several beams coming out to remind me that in the category of meditation, there are all different kinds of meditation. There's walking meditation, there's more receptive meditation, there's more active meditation, there's meditation where you are counting your breath. There's all kinds of meditation. There's contemplation, there's meditation where you think about a spiritual passage, and so on. In the ray of prayer, there is affirmative prayer, there's personal devotional prayer, there's spiritual mind treatment, there's repeated affirmation. In the category of spiritual study, there's self-directed study, there's study in a group, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about how you can self-direct your study too. You don't have to enroll in a class, although in a class you have community, but there is also a benefit from self-directed spiritual study. Then there is selfless service, and you heard us refer to all the people who are helping out. Well, it's not just to get a job done. It's also to develop a deep connection to the world by helping in all the different ways. So there are all the beams. You can donate your time in an area that you're skilled in, but maybe you don't want to do that. You know, like maybe you want to do something that's completely different to your skill set. Maybe you want to sweep floors, because it gives you a sense of connection. So each one of the rays has got multiple different practices built into it. Then there is the one on the left, circulation. And inside of circulation, we have all of the spiritual practices that keep us in the flow of life. Now, the word circulation is a beautiful word, you know, going around, and makes me think of the body system and our circulatory system that carries oxygen and nutrients and hormones, and it also removes waste. It does all the things that keep us alive, gets rid of the carbon dioxide, and it keeps the blood moving from our heart and back, and it's going on. It's got to keep going, right? Because you know what happens if it doesn't. Yeah, things come to an end. Because if it doesn't keep flowing, well, think of a body of water. Without movement, stagnation sets in. When water stands still, it goes bad. Circulate keeps it fresh. The Dead Sea, you know, I love that image. It's dead. Because it only has inlets, no outlets. So there's no circulation. Something is interrupted. So the spiritual practices that fit into the ray called circulation are all of those practices that keep things moving, such as giving, and the other part of it, receiving, such as asking to allow things to come in, such as appreciation and giving thanks and acknowledging. And in this category is also forgiving. Forgiving is part of the circulation part of our spiritual practice. And so I'm going to invite you to explore this circulation a little bit with some questions. And you can write these down or just think about them. And they go like something like this. What happens in my life when I don't give? Compared to when I do give. So you're just becoming an observer of your process. That's all. Self-study. What happens when I don't allow myself to receive? Compared to when I am open to receiving, when I allow people to give to me. And what happens in my life when I don't let myself ask? Or when my asking is not that skilled? Do you know what I mean by that? When I ask in a way that doesn't get me what I want. Oh, my godmother, God bless her. I miss her so much. I love her. She passed on, but she also used to crack me up because she would ask in a way that made me want to not give her. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I loved her. I adored her, but she would ask in a way that was so manipulative that it was like a demand. It wasn't an ask. You know, and so we would fight that out, you know. But anyway, there was some humor in it because there was so much love. So look at that. What happens in my life when I don't thank, when I don't appreciate, when I don't acknowledge, compared to when I do? So now I can just observe this, the breathing in and out of the spiritual system. And then I can also even explore, as I look at this, what blocks do I have when it comes to all of these things, like giving? What gets in the way? You can probably identify them like that, right? Has to do with control and freedom and manipulation. What blocks do I have around receiving? What does it mean to me? What blocks do I have around asking and thanking? And which ones am I good at? Which ones do I deflect? Which ones do I avoid? And what's underneath it all? So you see, you can do a lot of self-study, excavating what's going on in the spiritual circulation system for you. Because the same set of questions and exploration applies to forgiveness. Same, same. So I can begin to bring awareness to the same sort of questions. What happens in my life when I don't forgive? What happens in my life when I don't forgive compared to when I do? So now it's important. This is not a right or right wrong kind of exploration. It's just about awareness. I'm just observing. See if I can identify some of the blocks that I experience around forgiveness. And then I might even ask myself, why? Now, why does forgiveness show up in the circulation group of practices? Why is it there? And clearly the answer is because it's connected to the flow of life, of spiritual well-being, and without it, stagnation sets in. That's why. Okay, now, this is one of those spiritual practices, forgiveness, one of those tools we can say that really needs a warning label. It should say, be aware that this is an advanced level skill. I was trying to think of an image to illustrate that, and I thought, well, it would be like, you know, picking somebody who has absolutely no musical training or skills, you know, yet, and saying, you know, well, you know, I don't know if Brenda has any musical skills. But I could say, oh, by the way, she says no. Okay, perfect. Say, Brenda, you know, oh, by the way, you're responsible for the music next Sunday. Here's the piano, there's the guitar, and there's a bunch of things there. We'll see you next week. It's not going to go well. She could become anxious. It would be more appropriate to provide some training and some care first before expecting a concert. Forgiveness work is a little bit like that. And it becomes super important to be mindful and careful and compassionate with each other and ourselves when we are doing forgiveness work, especially when we are having difficulty forgiving. Or we don't know how to get through it or what to do. Or it's not working, it's not flowing. And we think we're doing the work and it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Or we get to a point where we can't forgive at all. So we have to do a lot of breathing and accepting and welcoming and say, show up exactly as you are, wherever you are on the journey, that's the correct place. Now, on our website for our center, there's a whole library of videos, resources for self-study, and you can go through them and see there are dozens of videos over the years and years and years that have to do specifically with forgiveness. October 25th, 2020, Reverend Russ LeGear's message on forgiveness. Earlier on, 2014, there's a message by me about the obstacles we encounter as we're on the journey of forgiveness. And then there's a brilliant message by Dr. Jim Lockhart. The title is, I Will Forgive When I'm Good and Ready. And dozens more videos about what forgiveness is, what forgiveness isn't, how to do it, why we seem to feel this need to have it, why it can be hard to do, and when it's appropriate to not forgive. Who'd have thought? Right? And I mention this because there is no way for me or any other speaker to give a complete message about forgiveness in 20 minutes. So if forgiveness is up for you, it's a journey. And go gently. And go slowly. And today, I'm just going to speak about one aspect of forgiveness. I'm going to talk about forgiving ourselves. I can hear the groaning. Yeah, forgiving ourselves, because there can be some obstacles in that. You know, I'm going to just offer to you some ideas that have helped me, and with the hope, with the trust that some of it might be helpful to you. So my first piece of advice to myself is, don't do it alone. Get help. It's really difficult to untangle self-resentment all by yourself, because we can be our own worst critics, right? Is it what Sally Kempton who said, it's difficult to fight an enemy that has outposts in your own head? You know, that's the idea. So if you notice there is some self-unforgiveness in you, you might want to invest in some help, professional help. Because yes, self-forgiveness can be quite difficult to do by yourself. And look, I don't try to fix dental work by myself. It's not my skill set. I don't even try to cut my own hair, except the one time I did. You know, I thought, you know, how hard can this be? You know, pandemic will do that for you, right? So, you know, equipped with YouTube videos, my new clippers, I set out to cut my hair, and the end result was there were all these patches of hair in the back of my head, you know, because I couldn't see what I was doing, you know, I couldn't see the end result. And that's kind of what doing my own self-forgiveness work is like. Quite likely there is stuff I can't see that everybody else can see clear as crystal. Yeah. So a professional can assist me in seeing it, you know, can help me see what needs to be identified and replaced so that whatever it is that is blocking my ability to forgive myself can be dealt with so that I can live. So there's all kinds of help. We have our licensed prayer practitioners. There's a directory on our website where you can look at their bios. And of course, work with a therapist is some of the most, the best money I've ever spent. And to me, working with someone, well, it's like a confession. It's like coming clean about what's going on inside of me in the presence of another person. So it does need to be safe. It does need to be intentional. It's not the sort of thing you just, you know, unpack on your best friend. You right? Oh, but the power of having an honest and gentle look at myself in the presence of another person can be very healing. And the safer the space, the more easily it comes out. A big part of self-forgiveness for me is seeing and accepting, yes, I did that, and I shouldn't have. Or, yes, I didn't do that, and I should have. You know, we don't use the word should too much, but it's right there. To own it and to admit it is a powerful place to start. And that goes along with acknowledging my feelings that are related to that moment of identification. Acknowledge the feelings related to the situation and actually feel them. Just feel them. Because until I feel them, it's very difficult to move through them. Cleaning my fridge yesterday. Don't judge me. All right, go ahead, judge me. But there are all kinds of leftovers in there that have truly been left over, neglected, rotten, just like unfelt feelings, accumulated, hidden in the back where I think I can just ignore them. So as I was cleaning them out, I thought, I know what that's about. When I hide away or avoid feelings, it's just so much healthier to identify them, feel them, and move. And then, of course, to follow up with a practice that lets me soften my mental and emotional grip on the past. So, and another important part of self-forgiveness for me is learning how to apologize. So, to apologize if my actions caused harm to someone or to myself. And if I'm unable to apologize to another person, here's something that really helps: to write down what I would have said had I had the opportunity. Or writing an apology to myself. That can be very helpful. And I've learned, for me, for an apology to be real, it has to be sincere. And I've learned there's some key elements. I've got to admit to the wrongdoing and the impact it had on the person or myself. Could be me. And I've got to express regret for it. And then I've got to describe what I plan to do differently. Make amends, reparation, make it right, or as Reverend Russ calls it, clean up. So how can we tell if self-forgiveness is an issue, a concern? Well, this is not a precise list, and these could be signs, you know. Don't take it as law. These are just exploration questions or ideas. So here are some signs. Sometimes the ability to like oneself gets weaker and weaker and weaker. Sometimes people punish themselves by not taking care of themselves, or they develop self-destructive habits. Sometimes people get stuck in mental loops where they think about the same thing over and over again, or recall the past over and over again. Sometimes people get into the habit of dismissing or deflecting comments, not taking opportunities when presented, not receiving praise because they've got running under the surface, if only you knew. And sometimes unforgiveness shows up as a tendency to be resistant to doing things that will increase my energy, release my creativity, improve my health, raise my self-esteem and engagement. So like I said, it's not a complete list. It's just something to think about. The one that shows up for me is that loop thinking, going back to the wrongdoing over and over and over again. So what can you and I do when thoughts get stuck on the mistake? Well, it's going to be different for everyone, but here's what helped me in addition to getting professional help. When a thought or a memory of a past mistake comes up, I pause in whatever I'm doing. And if I can do this out loud, it's better. But if I'm in public, I'll say it quietly. I just say to myself, I acknowledge that I did that, and I accept my part in it. And then, and sometimes I have to close my eyes, I notice what feeling comes up. And if I can, if I have my journal, if I have a pen, I write that feeling down. I feel ashamed. Or I feel sad. Or I feel... I write it down. It's the confessional. It's a formula that works for me. Acknowledge, feel it, and then the next part is soften. And to me, soften means I got to be ready to follow up with something specific, a practice. And that might be something like repeating a mantra or a phrase that is powerful or useful, you know, or carry around a prayer with. You know what worked for me was I had in my memory, and at first I carried it around because when I was very emotional, I couldn't remember the words. The prayer that is associated with St. Francis, you know, I would take it out and I would read it. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. That worked for me. It was like something that was sowing back the integrity of my soul. And then a practice that I find very effective in self-healing around unforgiveness is to redirect some of my attention to others. To be not 100% self-absorbed. Because the fact of the matter is, everywhere around me, and I believe this may be true for you, everywhere around me there are people who are struggling just to make it through another day. Everywhere. So instead of giving 100% of my attention to myself, I give some of my precious attention to others to include them in this practice of softening. And for me, I do it in a very specific way, and you're going to find your own way. You know, you can turn it into a personal ritual for yourself. And, you know, for example, you might at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day light a candle and think of someone in your life, in your world, and just say silently something like, I love you and I bless you and I set you free to your highest good. And the redirecting of our attention to other people, well, you know, there aren't any other people, right? What you do on behalf of other people is of benefit to you too. And sometimes it's easier for us to love other people than it is for us to love ourselves. And love is love. So wherever you do it, it's doing its work. For me, the meditation I liked was the very well-known one, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. So I invite you now with me to take a moment to breathe in. And as you exhale, let your attention be redirected away from self to the self of God that is in someone in your life that might benefit from your loving attention right now. Just bringing their awareness, their image into your awareness, as if you're sitting with them having coffee. Perhaps you can even see their image, or maybe you feel it more than see it. Or you're just listening to this as a story, but you know who it is you're talking about, thinking about. And as if there is a message from your heart to theirs, these words carry your love. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy.